Continues. What journey are we speaking of?
Anyone remember? You heard of a journey from Vrindavan, out of Vrindavan.
Yeah.
A sad journey.
Yes. And then the journey to Mathura. But once, when there's a long journey, persons get off and different, they have their exits. So Akura got off in Mathura and went his way. And Krishna told Akura that I will come to your house, because that was Akura's desire. I will come to your home after I have killed Kamsa, to kill the enemy of my family, the enemies of the Yadu dynasty. Because Krishna is known as Yadu Vendra, or Yadu Shrestha, the best of the Yadus. So Akura was very unhappy and he went home. But the journey continued anyway. Now the journey, ultimately, it goes through some different stops. First, Krishna is going to see a rajak. Rajak means a dyer of clothing. Krishna is going to deal with him, and then Krishna is going to see a weaver or a tailor, and Krishna is going to deal with him on the journey, and then Krishna is going to see a florist or a mali, garland maker named Sudama, and then after that he continues his journey, and he sees, first he sees other people see him. Then he continues his journey and he sees the sacrificial bow in the arena that is made for Kamsa. There's a sacrifice going on, and this was this bow of Lord Shiva was going to be worshipped. And Krishna is going to deal with that in his own way. And this was ostensibly the reason for the sacrifice, for the wrestling match, because there was a great festival. Religious festival in which the bow was going to be worshipped, the bow of Lord Shiva was going to be worshipped, and then to add to the festivities, there was going to be a wrestling match at the same time. But the real purpose of the entire event was so that Krishna would be killed, and Kamsa had arranged everything for the death of Krishna, including he brought Krishna with Akura, and Akura's mission was to bring Krishna, and Akura even knew. Kamsa was so confident that he even told Akura that when Krishna comes, we will have him killed. So that's the first part of the journey that we will. Akura has just gotten off, and he's not seeing Krishna right now, and he very sadly went to his home. You found your way back.
I did.
So, Krishna, remember, is just a village boy. What does that mean? When you're a village boy, you are used to cows, to pasturing grounds, you're used to village houses and the village way of dealing and the village way of dressing. And then when one goes from the village to the city, it's completely different. The ways of dealing are different. The ways of livelihood are different. The people act differently. The people speak differently. The buildings are huge and appear more opulent. Of course, this is in general, and of course, Vrindavan is the most opulent and most wonderful place. But yet, Krishna took that mood. He got on the chariot, he came to the village, from the village to the city of Mathura, and then naturally, after he sent Akura to his house, and Akura reported back to Kamsa that his mission, Akura's own mission, had been accomplished because he had been sent to bring Krishna to Mathura. Then next, what did Krishna actually want to do? It was in the afternoon. He had just arrived in town from the village. And rather, Mathura was actually a big city and an opulent city too. And naturally, what would he want to do? He's a young boy, like a teenager. Yeah, you go out on the town. You want to see what's going on. You take your friends, and you want, you know, you make jokes. You know, look at this over here. Look at this one over here. But Krishna is very, very, he's very amazing the way he deals. So we'll hear about it right now. So the boys wanted to go out for an afternoon and evening out on for the first day in their town. This is the first time they have ever left the village, the cowherd village of Vrindavan. All of them. Nanda Maharaj, of course, he had gone to Mathura so many times to pay his taxes. And right after the birth of Krishna, which is the fifth chapter of the... 10th canto describes how Nanda Maharaj goes to Mathura to pay his taxes, and there, after paying his taxes, he sees Vasudev, who tells him, you better get back very quickly to the village of Vrindavan, because Vasudev knows that Kamsa is not to be trusted, and he sent so many of his demon friends to kill the children who have been born, just been born. He's seen that already. Kamsa immediately begins to persecute people. Actually, after Krishna is born, Kamsa's first reaction, after Yogamaya, Subhadra Devi, speaks to Kamsa, because Yogamaya is Kamsa's worshipable deity, or more like Kali, Durga Devi, is Kamsa's worshipable deity. So when his deity goes up into the sky, when he tries to kill the young child, the deity, the young child turns into his worshipable deity, can you imagine? And goes up to the sky and says, the child who is meant to kill you has already taken birth somewhere else. And Kamsa is shocked to the core of his heart. He's shaken. And when one is shaken like that, what happens? One re-examines the premises that one has based one's life on. Have I really acted properly? I've been acting in this way. Is this really the correct way to act? This is a natural reaction. If one is shaken to the core of one's heart, one examines one's life, its worth, and the premises that are on the soul. Kamsa immediately changed his attitude after examining his previous intention was to kill the child, and then he actually ended up apologizing to Vasudev. He ended up preaching to Vasudev, after all, even though I have killed the six children before anyway. It was really... But anyway, what can happen? You know, time does these things. You please forgive me. He was very, very, very humble and was speaking in a diplomatic way. Vasudev knew that Kamsa couldn't be trusted because so much depends on your association. And Kamsa's association was terrible. His ministers were all demonic. So after releasing Vasudev and Devaki, his ministers told him, what do you have to be afraid of? You know, you remember who you are, because that's what happens when your foundations become shaken. you don't know who you are, and you re-examine who you are. So actually, when we're in a difficult situation like that, when our foundations get shaken, then we're in a good situation to make a change. But if we just go back to our same association, then we'll probably, our false ego will reform itself into the same way it's always been. And if you act in the same way that you always act, then you get the same result as you always act. So Kamsa went back to his bad association, his demonic asuric ministers who are always envious of the demigods and ultimately of the Supreme Lord, because they divided people into you're with us or you're against us. And if you're against us, if you don't submit to our power and our strength, you are our enemies and we will kill you. So that's the demonic way of thinking. The godly way of thinking ultimately sees no friends and no enemies. He sees this configuring persons unto the side of friends and enemies. He sees that as just the ways of the mind. This is what the mind does. Icha dvesha samutena. It configures people for its own protection into friends and enemies. And this is not the godly way of seeing. Godly way of seeing is what? Pandita samadarshanam vidyavinaya sampane brahmani gali hastini suni chaiva swapati chai. He sees all living entities. He sees them as they are. He sees them in their relationship to Krishna, as Krishnas. So pandita samadarshan, he sees them equal, not dividing them in those two ways. So Kamsa, going back to his bad association, they said, Kamsa, just remember who you are. You're the king. The demigods, so basically they were saying, remember who you think you are, remember who you're not. How you always thought you were. Remember how the demigods, they were always frightened of you. And with just the mere twanging of your bow, terror would shake their hearts. What is it? Don't give up your proper mood, who you are. Remember your power. Actually, there's a funny instance where Balaram forgot his power, too. When he was being carried away by Palambasura, after the Palambasura had disguised himself as a cowherd boy, and he was a friend of Kamsa's, and he thought the incident is described wonderfully in Gopal Champu, how Kamsa was depressed by this time. This is in the 18th chapter of the 10th canto. He's depressed because he has sent so many of his friends and servants and associates to kill Krishna, and they've all been killed. So Kamsa was sort of sitting depressed because his death was approaching, and he was fighting his very death. And of course, if you fight, when you're fighting your death, we all know who's going to win and who's going to lose. So naturally, Kamsa knew he was going to lose on a certain level of his consciousness. So therefore, he was quite afraid. So he was depressed about that because he kept on losing, which meant that his enemy, which was his death, which was Krishna, was unlimitedly powerful. So he didn't want to face that point. So Palambasura came in and said, Why are you depressed? And he said, Krishna's just killed. He's killed this one, he's killed that one, he's killed this one, he's killed that one. He said, what is to be fearful? I am here. And Kamsa just looked at him and said, oh. He said, moths have a nature to approach fire. And what happens when moths approach fire? They get fried. cooked and fried. So he said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of this Krishna Balam, I'll bring them to you. And Kamsa just says, anyway, you do as you want. Mothasa's tendency to approach fire. So Palambasura disguised himself as a cowherd boy, and he joined the midst Krishna Balaram, and he was planning on assuming his real form, throwing Krishna Balaram over his shoulder and just carrying them to Kamsa. He was just loving the thought of, here, I'm here, Kamsa, you just see who I am. Here's Krishna Balaram. But he soon recognized that Krishna was too powerful. So he decided to carry Balaram away. So Krishna, of course, recognized him, and this story is well known. Krishna took Palambasura on his team, and he had his team lose, and he had Balaram riding on his shoulders, and Balaram and Krishna were in opposing teams. The boys had been playing all day long, as they divided themselves up into kings and kingdoms. Balaram was one king, Krishna was another king, and the boys were their subjects and their generals and their ministers, and they would make politics against each other and things. They were just playing in this way. So when Balaram's team won, Palambasura, who was disguised as a boy, carried Balaram. And the idea was, this was happening in Mandiravan, that wonderful place, Mandiravan. So on the western side of the Yamuna, a wonderful forest near Mansarova, near Badravan, near Lakshmivan, near Lohavan, all the forests of Vrindavan on the western side. So there's a wonderful tree there called Mandiravat. So the rules of the game were that the losers carry the winners to Bandiravan, and then they play something else, to Bandiravat, the big tree. So this demon tried to get Balaram far away, as far as possible from Krishna. So when he got to the tree, Balaram was very heavy. He couldn't maintain him, and he was trying to carry him further away so he could kill him. So he assumed his form as he passed the Bandiravat tree. And Balaram was shocked, because he was carrying a coward boy. And suddenly he's carrying this huge blackish demon with jewels and turban on his head, and he's being carried away. And for a moment, he forgot his power, because he was so absorbed. This is the nature of Braja Bhakti, Braja Prem, that it consumes the consciousness of Krishna and Balaram, so they become so involved in the Leela, and they're playing with the cowherd boys, or whichever, the love of the residents of Vrindavan is so great, it takes away their remembrance of who they are. Just like when, if there's the mother of the president or the prime minister, and when she gets him alone, she's thinking of him just as a little boy, because that's the way mothers are. They never see their children having grown up, and they just and the boy he adopts that kind of mood, you know. His personality changes. He acts like a little boy. I mean, not completely, but she asks him, are you getting enough to eat? Are you keeping warm? You know, all these kind of questions that, you know. So, and the boy reciprocates. So Balaram was reciprocating so much with the affectionate mood of his friends that he forgot that he was all powerful. So Krishna, when he was being carried away, and Balaram was so shocked by Palambasura, Krishna told him, but in a subtle way, just by the movement of his eyebrows, He said, Balaram, this isn't the time to forget your powers. And Father went, oh, yes. And he swore and he just whacked him on the side of his head with his fist. And of course, the demon immediately died because Balaram is unlimitedly powerful. So, we remember different aspects of ourself depending upon who we're with and what our circumstances are, actually. So Kamsa remembered fully who he wasn't in that sense, that he was a demon. And he immediately sent out everyone to kill the boy, the unborn, those who had been born previously in the last so many days. So Vasudeva knew this. So when Nandamaraj came to Mathura, he sent him back as quickly as possible because Nandamaraj didn't know that the boy was Krishna. And Vasudeva did know the boy was Krishna because he had brought him there. So he said, be very, very careful. One never knows what dangers may come back, may be there. In other words, he was fearful of Krishna's. And Nandamaraj was so simple that when he came back, what demon did he see? Putana, who had expanded to a huge size, being killed. And it's interesting how when Krishna was killing her, he was sucking out her life. While he was drinking her breast, and she was saying, leave me, child. And Krishna was very angry at her because she was a Rakshasi and killed so many young children, and she had come to kill him. And he wouldn't let go, and he was holding on tightly, and at the same time he was kicking her with his lotus feet, his little lotus feet. And then she died, ran out of the house, assumed her form, and then died and expanded. And also Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says when she died and expanded, she crushed all the orchards of Kamsa. Haribol. So Krishna was teaching Kamsa something right from the very, very beginning. But when Nandamaraj came, he saw this huge Rakshasi. And he went back and found out what had happened. Chastise his wife, you know, why do you let this lady in, you know, the whole thing. But then they cut up the body with axes, because they didn't have chainsaws in those days. Mm-hmm. But they used axes to cut up the body, and they chopped it up into pieces. They had to. It was like 8 kilometers long. What can you do? So they chopped it up and they burned it. And they were so amazed because the fragrance, because the baby, Krishna had killed the child. The fragrance was not like the fragrance of burning flesh. If you've lived in Vrindavan, you know the fragrance of burning flesh. It's because you've been to the burning guts when devotees leave this world. But Putana's body was not like burning flesh. It was fragrant, like agru. It was fragrant. Because it had been touched by the lotus body of Krishna, lotus-like transcendental body of Krishna. So Vasudeva had told Nandamaraj, and Nandamaraj was thinking, now this Vasudeva, he has warned me about this. He could foresee the future. He's a powerful mystic. But actually, this was Nandamaraj's simplicity of heart. And see, Vasudeva was just knew the circumstances as in actually was a powerful mystic, but he wasn't using his powerful mystic powers at that time. Of course he was the most powerful mystic because Krishna was his son. It's extraordinary to have such a relationship with Krishna. It's so extraordinary in this world to have a relationship with any relationship with Krishna, that Krishna is everything for you. How extraordinary that is. We have a relationship without mind like that. My mind is everything to me. And what is the mind doing? It's just It's imagining. It's sankalpa vikalpa. It's imagining that this is everything to me, and this is horrible to me. It's just looking at objects. It's like a searchlight pointing to different objects and accepting, rejecting with different intensities. This material mind is the cause of all our difficulties. This is the conclusion of the Avanti Brahmana. All our difficulties in this world, all misery is caused by the material mind, because it protects, based on false ego, a false sense of who we are. So to break that connection and to have one's consciousness, one's self, not focused on the material mind and its icha, dvesha, samudena, dvandva, mohena, bharata, not its illusory attractions and repulsions in this world, but to have one's concept of everything of value focused on Krishna, and that attracts Krishna. It attracts Krishna, that consciousness called Krishna consciousness. It attracts Krishna. So Vasudeva's consciousness was so attractive to Krishna that Krishna took his birth from him. So what an exalted soul. So such an exalted soul has all mystic powers, but at this particular time, to make the prediction that Nanda Maharaj should go back just to make sure all was well in Braja, meaning that Krishna was well, that this wasn't using his mystic powers, this was just using his diplomatic common sense. So Vasudeva had been, Nanda Maharaj had been to Mathura, but this was the first time that Krishna, and some of the coward men had been to Mathura, because Nanda Maharaj had gone bringing goods for taxes for Kamsa before, paying his state taxes. But Krishna and the cowherd boys, they had never been to Mathura, so they began to marvel at the sights of Mathura, and this is what they saw. Now this is the opulence of Mathura, and before we think that this is just some fanciful imagination, we should know that there are historical records that show that Mathura was such an opulent city, and when it was sacked by the Muslims, they took out gold in carts and carts and carts of gold and opulences and this and that and this and that, and it had so many walls around it, and it was really a masterful, wonderful city when you go through it today, especially a few years ago before they fixed up the roads. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't even, it was like, it was worse than an unpaved road. And it's so crowded and this and that. But then it was such an opulent city, and Krishna wanted to see it. Now, it's a North Indian mess. But this is what Krishna saw, and with the cowherd boys. They observed that the gate of Mathura was made of first-class marble, very well constructed, and that the doors were made out of
gold.
Pure gold. So this is opulence. And this is administration too, because can you imagine if a door was made out of gold? Here, you know, I mean, you'd have a lot of visitors in the middle of the night. There were gorgeous orchards, fruits and flowers everywhere. And even today, so many of the flowers that are, because Vrindavan is so popular, the temples are so popular, and so many pilgrims, tourists that come. And they bring from Delhi especially, and they always want garlands. So much of the flowers come in Vrindavan, that Vrindavan can't even supply the flowers that are required for everyone. So mostly it comes from Mathura. So there were gorgeous orchards and gardens all around. The whole city was encircled by canals, moats. Now there's practically no water, it's just dry, dusty.
It's encircled by sewer.
Yeah, different kind of canals.
Mm-hmm.
So that no enemy could enter very easily. And the arms, they were strong, protected by Kamsa. They saw all the crossroads were decorated with gold, and there were copper and brass storehouses for stocking grain. Wow, copper and brass storehouses for stocking grain. Because if you, what's the problem with having straw and mud storehouses for stocking grain? Chua, mice. Copper, mice cannot bore through copper and brass. And there were many rich men's houses, all appearing symmetrical. That's one thing. Nothing appears symmetrical and well constructed and thought out. As if constructed by one engineer, the houses were decorated with costly jewels. In each and every house, had nice compounds of trees bearing fruits and flowers. So in other words, there were walls around the houses, and inside there were the people had their own orchards, not only were there gardens for everyone else, public parks and things like that. The people were wealthy too. It wasn't only the king that was wealthy. There were jewels and everything. And the compounds had trees. They weren't gum trees. Instead, the only fruit is the gum nuts, which only parrots like, but no one else finds any value in them. The corridors and verandas of the houses were decorated with silk cloth and embroidered work and jewels and pearls. How wonderful. And in front of the balcony windows were pigeons and peacocks walking and cooing for sound. The pigeon is considered very auspicious, and when it flaps its wings, that's the only thing that you find remaining, practically. There's pigeons everywhere.
Crows.
Crows, yeah. There's still pigeons. And all the grain dealers' shops within the city were decorated with different kinds of flowers and garlands. So everything clean, auspicious, sattvagun. Newly grown grass and pleasing flowers like narcissus and roses. Narcissus means Gandharaj, gardenias, that's what he probably said. And roses, so very everything very fragrant, auspicious. And the entrance doors of the houses were decorated with water pots filled with water. Water mixed with yogurt, sandalwood pulp, and flowers was sprinkled around the doors, which were also decorated with burning lamps of different sizes. All the doors were decorated with fresh mangrove leaves and silk festoons. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he describes what the pots were like outside. Quite wonderful. So just imagine that coming from the village of Vrindavan, and Krishna Balaram is seeing all this.
For example, the palace of Mother Maharaj was also opulent, but must have been a different
village type of opulent. But this is a different. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any difference between the cities and their towns.
Well, that's.
They're probably, they had to be, they have their milk. Yeah, there's obviously a different kind of opulence. Even when you go to Eka Chakra, you know, there's these big mud houses that appear very opulent and wonderful. It's a different kind of opulent, though. Now, let's see if I can find my comment. The full water pots, these are the water pots that are outside the house. The houses, everyone's houses had, and with burning lamps of different sizes. When I was in Jagannath Puri and during Kartik, every night in certain areas of the city, people would burn lamps, ghee lamps, and leave them outside, and the atmosphere was really, really wonderful. Just around the time of dusk, there's the lamps burning around Yameshra Toto, Supraminical area. So this is what the four water pots were placed in the following manner. On either side of each door, try to envision what this looks like. Above piles of raw rice is a pot. So you have rice down there, and on that is a pot. And circling each pot are flower petals. So on the rice, there are flower petals. There's rose petals and everything like that. And on its neck are ribbons. And in its mouth, in it, are leaves of mangoes and other trees. And above each pot, on a gold plate, are rows of lamps. On either side of each pot are banana tree trunks. In front and behind each pot is a betel nut tree. Flags are leaning against the pots, and ornamental arches are arrayed here and there. So every house had these kind of auspicious pots. And it says, Krishna saw that the doors of the houses were nicely ornamented with full water pots, and these are the full water pots, and were decorated with flowers and smeared with yogurt and sandalwood paste and five other auspicious elements. So they're saying, wow, but the real wow was coming from the residents of Vrindavan, residents of Mathura. And that's what we hear, because they were seeing Krishna. Because they had, just like Krishna and Balaram and the boys hadn't seen this before, and they're looking at the wonders of the city. The people of Mathura were struck by the beauty of Krishna. When the news spread that Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys were within Mathura city, all the inhabitants gathered. And the ladies and girls immediately went up on the roofs of the houses to see them, because they were big, big houses, not village houses. Village houses are one story, but these were like big mansions, multi-storied houses. So the ladies went up, and they were, because everyone had heard about Krishna before. Because Krishna's fame had spread because of his wonderful activities. So when they heard that Krishna and Balaram had come, and even they'll say, the residents of Mathura, and even the, later on the residents of Hastinapur, or earlier in the first canto, they said, how fortunate are the gopis. So everyone knew what was going on. So they all went up on the roofs to see. They had been awaiting the arrival of Krishna and Balaram with great anxiety. And they had fallen in love with Krishna and Balaram just by hearing about them, with Krishna. And in their extreme eagerness to see Krishna and Balaram, the ladies did not dress themselves very properly. So you can just imagine how eager they were. Because it's very close to the description of the Braja Gopikas when they heard the sound of Krishna's flute. So they were so eager, their excitement that Krishna has come, and that, because he's walking on the street, and if you're 15 minutes late or 10 minutes late or maybe 20 minutes late, you might miss him. And they didn't care about whatever else they were doing. They heard so much about this boy who was so beautiful and was so entrancing that they dropped everything. So here, it's very much like what the gopis, because this is the effect that Krishna had. They did not, and in their extreme eagerness to see Krishna and Balaram, the ladies did not dress themselves very properly. Some of them placed their clothes in the wrong places. Some anointed their eyes on one side only. And some wore ankle bells only on one leg or wore only one earring. Thus in great haste, not even decorated properly, they went to see Krishna from the roofs. Some of them had been taking their lunch. But as soon as they heard that Krishna and Balaram were in the city, they left their eating and ran to the roof. So what's going to be the result of this tatra loyam api mulam ekalam? What is going to be the result of their eagerness? They see Krishna. And what is the result of my lack of eagerness?
Nothing.
Exactly. Because, you get what you want.
Nothing for nothing.
Yeah.
Is this happened after the washerman passed?
No.
Not yet.
Not even yet. This is just the preliminary. This is they just got there. See, what happens is first they do this. They're just walking. And then, because Krishna, he's wearing village clothes, right? And you can't go to a restaurant, not when you're Krishna. You can't go to a big event wearing village clothes. You've got to be dressed right. Because Krishna, that's one of his characteristics. He's a great dresser. Like, he's Nattabhari. He's dressed like a dramatic actor on stage always. And what happens when you see someone dressed like that? You're conscious. You become, your mind goes, your eyes go right to them.
Mm-hmm. Did they stay at someone's house in particular?
Huh?
Did they stay somewhere specific in nature?
They definitely stayed somewhere specific. But there's a garden, and there's actually the place is named where they stayed. Now, I never heard of it, but maybe people know. Some people know where it was, but it was in a garden outside the city. Krishna wouldn't go in the city, and there's the name of it is there. So maybe that quarter is still, that part of the city is known. It's still there. There's another time when the ladies, there's two times when they talk, they see Krishna, if I'm not mistaken in this. So, but this is their eagerness. Some were in the bathroom bathing, but without properly finishing their baths, they went to see Krishna and Balaram. Some were engaged in feeding their children breast milk, but they put their babies aside. Wild, yeah?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you become, because this kind of eagerness, first of all, shouldn't be imitated, and second of all, it's from the transcendental platform. It's some of the internal energy that enters the heart and forces one to act in this wild way. Mm. But and you know, and sometimes new devotees also get like this. On one level, but it's not the real thing, because time tests. Because what happens, you know, what happens when a new devotee gets like that, you know, they throw everything aside and run.
It might be a shadow of the same thing.
And then later on they go back and collect all the things and they want to have more babies and they want to, you know, put on their earrings right and better earrings and etc. and dress really properly. So shadow and substance are very different. But there's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, actually in Madhurya Kadambini, he gives it a name, and it's an anartha. It's the eagerness of the new. remember the Sanskrit name of it?
Utsamaya.
Utsamaya. It's filled with, like, this basically means filled with eagerness. But it, but
make,
it affects, well, that's part of it, and but also it affects, it gives you pride. That's one of the characteristics of that type of anatta, of eagerness. It gives you pride. You think, why are these people, why are they, you know, look at these other devotees, why aren't they, they don't know as much as me, you know, I'm this, I'm that. But, so in any case, they put their babies aside and went to see Krishna and Balaram. Passing by, very, this is now it moves to describing Krishna. Passing by very slowly and smiling, Lord Krishna immediately stole their hearts. He who was the husband of the goddess of fortune passed through the streets like an elephant. In other words, walking very slowly, and elephant takes these steps and
purpose,
and swaying from side to side. That's how elephants walk too. The coolest teenagers, the archetypal cool teenagers, have come. For a very long time, the women of Mathura had heard about Krishna and Balaram and their uncommon characteristics. And now they were very much attracted and eager to see them. And when they actually saw Krishna and Balaram passing on the street and saw them sweetly smiling, the ladies' joy reached the point of ecstasy. When they actually saw them with their eyes, they took Krishna and Balaram within their hearts and began to embrace them to their fullest desires. Like the wives, the Dvijapatnis also did the same thing, but it's not that it was just the concept through the eyes is the channel that the concept can enter our consciousness, our heart, our mind. But Krishna actually entered their consciousness in this way, because he can do these things, and he actually embraced them. He enters through the eyes. There's more than one incident where he does that. He began to embrace them to their fullest desire. They took Krishna and Balaram with their eyes, so the eyes become a channel, and Krishna entered that channel, attracted by their eagerness and their love, and their bodily hairs stood up in ecstasy. They had heard of Krishna, but they had never seen him, and now their longing was relieved. After going up on the roofs of the palaces of Mathura, the ladies, their faces joyful, they began to shower flowers on Krishna and Balaram. They began to make their offerings of love and glorify them. Because they also knew that he was a Yadu. Because that's how they knew him. In Vrindavan, he wasn't known as a Yadu. So he was seen and known, of course, ultimately like Kamsa, because he was cruel and he was heavy, nasty. He wasn't like the ruler is supposed to be like the father taking care of the children. And he had killed so many. He had disposed Ugrasena, disposed of him, and he had, you know, he usurped a beloved king's authority. He had taken over, he'd done a coup d'etat. What is the literal meaning of coup d'etat?
Coup is it.
Yeah.
D'etat is a state. Means
he whacked it.
Threw over the state.
Yeah, so Kansa had done this. So the people saw Krishna and Balaram as the best of the Yadus, and he was coming back. They were hoping that he was going to write to everything, and they had heard how powerful he was. He had killed this demon, he had killed that demon. So there was that element in it too. It wasn't just the kind of attraction that the residents of Vrindavan had. There was that too, that they were hoping that he was going to overthrow Kamsa. And then after Gaurabhika, they began to shower flowers upon Krishna and Balaram. What a scene, because the place was already beautiful. And then the most beautiful himself was walking down the street with Balaram, and flowers showering. And then when the brothers were passing through the streets, all the brahmanas in the neighborhood went out with sandalwood water, because he was a Yadu. He was the king. He was the king's dynasty of Mathura. Sandalwood water and flowers, and respectfully welcomed them to the city. They offered flowers, and you know, they do that thing with lamps and coconuts and sprinkled everything. So I'll just finish this. All the residents of Mathura began to talk amongst themselves about the elevated and pious activities of the people of Vrindavan, because the people of Vrindavan, they were seeing Krishna every day, and they were shocked. They went into ecstasy. Their consciousness was not ready for what they saw when they saw Krishna Balaram. No one's consciousness can be ready for seeing Krishna Balaram for the first time. And in Vrindavan, they had continuous experiences of seeing Krishna Balaram for the first time. Every time they saw him, Navayovanam, ever fresh, it's like they had never seen him before, because he would always manifest new beauties. And this one, like when you go to Vrindavan and you see Krishna Balaram by the Samasunda Gonita, it's like that. It's like, how? Because you see them every day, and you think that from the outside, you'd think that, same old thing. Mm-hmm. Well, but it's not like that when you see Gonitai or Gopinath. And it's different. It's completely different. They manifest a different angle of their beauty to the consciousness. They appear ever freshly, newly beauty, blossoming. Their beauty is blossoming. So they were thinking, boy, we're seeing him for the first time and our consciousness is stunned. How fortunate are the residents of Vrindavan, because they get to see Krishna every day. And indeed, they were correct. They were thinking. The residents of Mathura were surprised at the pious activities the cowherd men of Vrindavan must have performed in their previous lives to be able to see Krishna Balaram daily as cowherd boys. So they look at good fortune coming from piety, previous good deeds, and bad fortune as coming from impiety, previous bad deeds. And we don't see in that way. We find other things to place the shadow of our bad experiences upon, blaming others, blaming ourself in unhealthy ways. But Tatayana Krampamsus and Lakshmana, this is what I deserve, O Krishna. So how good fortune, what the residents of Vrindavan must have previously done to get this, we cannot even imagine. And indeed it's true. Sukadeva says the same thing. Krita punya punya. What have these coward boys done for thousands of births? Sakyam visaru krita punya punya, to be able to have the fortune of seeing Krishna and Balaram every day, playing with them. Not only seeing, they were talking about seeing, but the coward boys would play with them, have exchanges with them. The cows, Krishna would call the cows by their names. He would call them with his flute. So how fortunate. And these people had eagerness. Now, he's ready to see the Rajak. Rajak means the washerman. And then after the washerman is? No. Then, what do you need after you get your clothes? No, before that, you have to have them made in, the cloth is made into clothes, and then the garland, and then kubja. for the decorations. Because after all, he's going, you know, he's going to a big event. Who does he think he is, anyway? So tomorrow we'll hear about his amazing dealings with the washerman.
In my limited, illogical mind, geographically, the Yamuna separates from Vrindavan, and maybe some forest before they actually get to Vrindavan itself. What stops Mathura Vasis from ever wanting to go to Vrindavan? Why don't they go to Vrindavan?
One thing's not thinking geographically, but Yogamaya doesn't allow them to come. Okay. Because, you see, why does one go from one place to another? Well, there's a need you want to see, but you have, but wanting to go, and then, you know, we want to do this, but it's so hard to get out of your house, you know, and move around and things like that. So Yogamaya doesn't allow them to go because they have a different mood. They have a different qualification. They don't have the adhikar to be in Vrindavan. And even when a Krura goes to Vrindavan, when he sees Krishna completely differently. When he goes to the Akuragat, he sees Krishna completely differently because he sees them as a Yadu, but the residents of Vrindavan, even if they see him like that, they don't see him like that. Nothing decreases their love for him. So, not from the geographic point of view, but from the spiritual point of view, they don't have the adhikara, so Yogamaya doesn't give them the inspiration to go. They can't go.
I guess it's the same stuff as Singapore also. They could go if they wanted to.
But they never do. I mean, just like, people go from the country to the city. They don't go from the city to the country, generally. There's no excitement in the country. It's just boring. I mean, no one goes up to, what's that country town?
Calgary.
No.
Monday.
No, what's a country town way out there? Like the guy who we met on the plane last time. He was from
Gundagai.
Huh?
Gundagai.
But no, you don't go
Mabuba.
There. When you want some excitement in your life, you know, when you want to see something interesting, you don't go to Marble Bar. Is that the place? Yeah.
Part of the place in Australia.
It's a small town. Kuntapunya.
Krita Punya Punya or Krita Punya?
Just
Krita
Punya.
Wow.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
Aboriginal
land. Huh? Aboriginal land. In Australia, they got a very good custom of wanting to see the biggest banana or the biggest pineapple. But they have to go somewhere to see the biggest of something.
Well, that's why they come to the city, because you find them all the biggest things in the cities. I'm the biggest jerk in New York.
So Nanda Maharaj did Nanda Maharaj go regularly to Pakistan?
Yeah. It's not mentioned, but yearly.
Yearly or something?
You have to give one quarter of your income or the king becomes wrathful. Right. And if the king is wrathful, you're in trouble because he has all the power. I mean, this is the external.
Because he's so often threatening, you know, like the past times, you know, if you do that, also comes in.
Because his power was real.
And he would say sometimes here in Surya Kunti, you know, one of my gods with his brahmins from Mathura, he's just passing through. He's, you know, there is a great brahmin So there was contact, and also the flower fellows used to go backwards and forth. That's how come the Brahmins knew about Krishna Lala, and he would talk to flower fellows and such a while.
Just
interesting that we hear what happened when Kamsa tried to enter Vrindavan.
Yeah. Where does that story come from? That's just
from such a younger man.
No. Loka Pramana. Yeah. And the patties, they throw them down. Okay.
So, but that's the sort of indicates the difference, the distinction between, you know, the someone like Kamsa of aristocratic birth with all these different enjoyments and everything. You asked to, you know, you got cow dung and these patties, it's like so.
I mean, just ask anyone from the city. Every once in a while, you get someone from the city who goes. You go out to the countryside, you know, just for something, you know, a real, real change or something like that. But people, you know, milking cows, you know, where it's dirty, it's this, it's that, you know, you have bugs everywhere. It bugs everywhere, too.
Mice.
Mice, I mean, snakes.
That's
the way I feel about it. The internet connection isn't good, you know, the whole thing. But one thing you get is that the vegetables are fresh. That's what Prabhupada even said that. He said that that at least when you live in the village, you can eat well. The rule, because the vegetables are all fresh. Okay, Hare Krishna. Yeah.